The Electric Circus. Insert coin. Thank you. Press start.
That's right, The Electric Circus. The totally geek-tastic podcast devoted to news, reviews, rants, and raves. All your favorite stuff. Games, gear, cons, cosplay, and more. And here's the ringmasters for today's circus, Ray Gun and Uber Nerd 527. So let's go down to the center ring. The show's about to begin.
Hey, hey, arcaders. Welcome to the Electric Circus Podcast, the podcast that covers all the geek-tastic subjects you love, from shows, movies, video games, and more. Welcome, everybody, to the Electric Circus Podcast. My name is Joshua, the Uber Nerd, and with me today on this podcast episode is, of course, one of my partners in crime, the man of a thousand faces. I just came up with a... That's your nickname now. You're the man of a thousand faces. I don't know why I picked that one, so there you go.
Well, you know what? Let's just go with it. I'll take it.
Okay. Danny the Ultrasonic Player. Yay!
Good to be back, Arcaders. Really good to be back.
All right. And for those of you just listening, the Electric Circus Podcast is part of the ArcadeArchives.com. So please check us out at TheArcadeArchives.com for more articles and more. And to stay tuned to the end, and we'll talk a little bit more about the actual website and what we do there and all stuff like that. All right. So on today's episode, we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff. We have not just one topic. We have several topics that we're going to be talking about here today in this more traditional podcast episode this time around. First of all, I'm going to do a review of the first two books in the High Republic series for Star Wars. If you haven't heard about the High Republic yet, I'll do a quick crash course on that. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about the brand new games for the Nintendo Switch, Super Mario 3D World, plus Bowser Fury, and then, of course, new Pokemon Snap, which just had a trailer just dropped recently. And then, of course, we have a brand new segment here on the Electric Circus Podcast. For those of you who don't know, the founder and creator of our wonderful website, thearcadearchives.com, is turning 10 years old this year. And because of that, we're doing a whole bunch of stuff, and Raygun, who unfortunately, the founder of our wonderful website, was unfortunately unable to record with us, so instead he records separately a new segment we're going to add into the podcast anytime he's not able to come. That's, of course, the Ray's Arcade Corner, and we're going to have him talk about just whatever he wants. And then, of course, the meat and potatoes of our podcast is going to be our review and possible conspiracy theories of WandaVision, which just dropped on Disney Plus. Now, don't worry, we're only going to go over the first two episodes. However, we are going to go over spoilers. So if you haven't seen it yet, stop right now. Go watch it. Come back. But we'll give you another spoiler warning before then, too. So, yes, that's definitely going to be our meat and potatoes. What about you? Are you excited, Danny?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm feeling good.
Oh, good.
Feeling really good.
So, how have you been doing, man? How's things been in your nerd life? You know, have you been playing any games lately? Reading any comics? Watching any good shows? Anything like that?
Well, I've actually been doing quite a few things actually. I've actually been getting around to reading Rob Paulsen's voice lessons. Now, I know it's been a while since it came out, but I've actually been listening to mostly the audio book version, which is a lot of fun,
cool. Especially
given you know, what Rob can do. And it's only now that I've been getting around to reading the written part, which is just as entertaining. I'm not done with the book yet. I'm actually taking my time in reading it chapter by chapter, page by page. But it's a lot of fun. And again, having heard the audio book and just everything that Rob went through, you know, in starting out and segueing into animation and specifically voiceover in all its forms, and just the lessons he learned and in some cases had to relearn. but yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I'm not, again, like I said, I'm not done with the book yet, but it's from what I've read so far, So also, the thing that I've also been doing as well is also playing on my Switch several games. Just recently, I have actually been playing Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which is actually a game that was released several years back, but not necessarily on any Nintendo system until now. So getting a chance to be able to play it, really, I really can see why a lot of folks loved the game when it first came out. And at least now, being a Nintendo gamer that I am, I get a chance to actually experience it Nintendo style on the Switch.
I heard that Scott Pilgrim is a really great game. Now I know you're a big fan of the side scrolling beat 'em ups. So how does it compare to Streets of Rage or River City Girls or games like that?
Yeah, well, what I like about the game is the design aesthetic is very much in line with what came out before. In comparison to, say, like Streets of Rage 4, this one, it definitely has that hand-drawn feel, but it has more of a pixelated hand-drawn feel. If that combination even makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
But what I mean is, it very much has that, in all honesty, it feels like the graphic style, when you're playing it, is very much like Double Dragon, the Double Dragon games that came out for the NES, only way much sharper because, again, the animation's a lot more crisp, but it still has that aesthetic to it, to where it doesn't feel like a hand-drawn comic book like what you would see in Streets of Rage, which is great. But the design of it has more of that pixelated feel. So it doesn't, so even though, yeah, it's crisp, not too crisp. It's like, it's just enough to where it very much has, it definitely has a lot more polish to it than what you would probably get if it was on the original NES. But it's not to the point to where you would see it on an indie, from an indie developer/publisher.
Cool.
So, but even going on that, the gameplay is great. The game is hard, as you would expect, but it is definitely a lot of fun.
Awesome.
But that is not the only game. I have also been playing, as I'm sure folks who have been following me, as well as seeing the screenshots that I've posted so far, I have been playing Pikmin 3 Deluxe. Now, there's an interesting story behind that. Well, okay, maybe not too interesting, but I actually had bought the original Pikmin 3 for my Wii U. Fortunately, at the time, because of a lot of different reasons, I wasn't able to get around to playing it. So getting a chance to be able to play it now is really a lot of fun, and I like the fact that they didn't put out a strategy guide. And I know I'm probably one of the biggest guys who... I'm one of those gamers who likes playing a video game with a strategy guide, but there's something about being able to play a game with no strategy guide at all on hand. And you have to figure things out for yourself. And now, granted, obviously these days, because everybody's in a get-it-done-yesterday thing, because there's so many other things to do and things to take care of, it's like trying to find the time to do it. But just in these past few days alone, I can definitely tell you that it there were a lot of things that really took a lot of trial and error, but in a really good way.
Awesome.
And I'm glad that I really got a chance to take my time, and I'm still taking my time, in just really exploring the world and getting a chance to just get back into it, because I did play the original Pikmin 1. So I can definitely say that I have the Pikmin experience. So getting back into that groove was pretty easy. And also getting a chance to see new things, like, for example, the yellow Pikmin can actually conduct electricity. Too bad they can't do electric attacks, but that's a whole other thing. And especially the rock Pikmin. Now, the rock Pikmin are definitely becoming my favorite because of what they can do. They can really pretty much bring down the door, literally and figuratively, and when it comes to fighting enemies, they can definitely pack that extra punch. So, and plus the whole like design aesthetic is just really great.
Awesome. I've never really been, I've tried to play Pikmin. It looks kind of fun. It just doesn't appeal to me as much. But I've heard a lot of people have been talking about it and how fun it is, and it kind of gets me wanting to at least try it again. But I have the free demo, so I guess I could try the free demo, but yeah, awesome. Well, as for me, I don't really have a whole lot. I'll talk about a little bit more some fun things near the end, but for right now, the only thing I can really talk about is I got a copy of the complete series of the original Planet of the Apes TV series on DVD. I got this on a site called Mercari. I got it for a pretty good deal. This is something I've been trying to watch for a long time. I wasn't a big fan of Planet of the Apes until, shout outs to my friends in Skywalking Through Neverland, who kind of introduced me to the Planet of the Apes. They have a whole podcast called Talking Apes, and originally Talking Apes was a podcast about just the TV series, and they went through every episode of it, and now it's just kind of randomly about just things about Planet of the Apes, the original movies, and sometimes the newer stuff. They got me really into it, and I've always wanted to actually watch the series, but unfortunately the DVDs were out of print, so I couldn't really find them until I found them on the Mercari, and lo and behold, I got them. I've been watching them. I actually kind of like it. It's actually really cool. The makeup isn't as good as the movies. The movies are a little bit better, but of course they had a bigger budget. TV in, I think, like around the 70s, stuff like that. So they didn't have such a big budget, but it does look pretty cool. And the weird thing is it takes place in an alternate universe from the original series. So there's a lot of things that the movie sets up that the television series does. For example, humans talk, which is a little weird, because humans in the Planet of the Apes universe don't talk in the movies. So it was kind of weird. And also dogs. They had dogs in the series, which, if you know anything about the history of the original Planet of the Apes series, there shouldn't be any dogs either. So it's kind of like an alternate universe, but it's still kind of fun. So I'm weird. The one thing that's been a question in my mind is there hasn't been like a revival of like doing a series since then. And this is like from the 70s. Okay, yeah, I was right. So 1974. So it took it back to in 70. Okay. So yeah. Woo! I'm correct. Yay! So the Planet of the Apes series takes place in 1974. So since then there hasn't been any Planet of the Apes TV series or anything like that. I thought that was kind of interesting, especially now with like the revival of like television, like, well, I wouldn't say television shows because technically don't watch television anymore, but just shows, like revivals of a lot of shows. In fact, Hulu is going to get its own Aliens series.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, because Disney owns them, but I don't think Disney wants to put Aliens on their family-friendly platform.
Yeah. Legally have the right to them?
Hmm?
Yep. I'm pretty sure they can stuff it up. They can use one of their... They're
putting it on a Hulu.
Because I know that, like, which I don't know if they own them. I know they would...
Yes, they do.
Because, again, technically they're owned by Disney. So.
No, they're putting it on Hulu, though. Which makes sense. Because Hulu is kind of like... I would say Hulu is kind of the touchstone version of Disney Plus, so they can put more risque things on there without putting it on Disney Plus.
Disney on Hulu?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Again, I don't really pay much to do, which I admit I really don't get around to doing that.
That's okay.
Again, I don't have Hulu. I have Netflix and Disney Plus, but.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Alright, interesting.
They own Hulu. So yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing. So let's move on. Moving right along to our random discussions for this this week. I'm going to start off the random discussions with something I've been really dying to talk about, and that is, of course, the brand new multimedia initiative called The High Republic. Star Wars The High Republic. This is a brand new era of Star Wars that not even the original Legends stories even touched. So for those of you who are not initiated, so these stories are going to take place 200 years before the events of A Phantom Menace. This is a time where the Republic and the Jedi are at their peak. Like, they are, you know, essentially what Jedi should be and what the Republic should be. And they're expanding the territory. They're going out to the Outer Rim now. And we have a brand new set of villains called the Nihil, which are kind of like pirate marauders who literally do anything and everything they can to destroy. All they want to do is destroy. So this is going to be a brand new era, and I'm very excited about this initiative. I'm a huge, avid Star Wars book reader. Now, I will caveat, because I want to make sure that I stay truthful online here, I actually listen to the audiobooks, but I still consider that to be reading. So I listen to the audiobooks. I have read the first two books, starting off the initiative, which is Light of the Jedi by Charles Soule and Test of Courage by Justina Ireland. Those just came out just recently. Between the two, I love Light of the Jedi. Light of the Jedi is a really, really good book for many different reasons. This book is basically a new hope of this era. So this is going to kind of set up everything. There's a whole lot of setup. It still takes place in the galaxy far, far away, and there's still some very familiar things, but there's also some unfamiliar things. The Jedi are... I wouldn't say the Jedi are 100% different from what we see in the prequels. However, these Jedi are definitely a little bit more... they have a little bit more freedom. That's what I'm going to say. They have a little bit more freedom than the Jedi in the prequels. I think this is going to be a very interesting way to see the Jedi for the first time. And then, like, they have different, like, hilt designs. Yeah. Some have cross guards. And not like Kylo Ren cross guard, but like an actual cross guard. Some have... you know, there's going to be a Jedi with katanas, with like lightsaber katanas,
where the blade actually like curved like a katana sword, or
yeah,
because I know the closest we got to that was basically the whole Kanan's lightsaber and Ahsoka. If you want to go on that, could even talk about that.
Yeah, this is going to be a multimedia project that spans not just books but comics. Possibly video games, and even possibly TV. Because we know that one of the shows that they announced at the Investors thing, which we talked about in one of our podcasts, so if you want to go back and listen to that, the Acolytes, that's going to be taking place at the end of this era. So by the time this is over, so this is going to be also a multi-year thing. So just like, I think they're taking a page from Marvel. This is going to be in three different phases, and it's going to come out through multiple years. And then Charles Soule is writing the kind of tentpole, or if you're thinking of this like Star Wars, this would be the trilogy movies. Yeah. So he's writing the trilogy of books, and then they're going to have offshoot books that tie into those books and then also kind of go their own, show a different side of the galaxy at that point. I have read both books. Like I said before, I highly recommend Light of the Jedi. It'll give you a great introduction. It has some really cool characters in it. It juggles multiple characters very, very well. All and right. kind of introduces you to these Jedi. You look like you have a question, Danny. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm actually looking through the High Republic images, and because I haven't read of them. It's like, okay, I like what they're the concept looks pretty good, because I haven't you know read any of them, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the comic just came out recently. I wanted to read the comic, but unfortunately I went out to the comic book store and it was completely sold out, so I'm waiting for the second print right now. I did read the second book. The second book that came out was a young reader book more geared towards kids like from 8 to 12 years old, and it was kind of a fun book. I enjoyed the characters a lot, as opposed to the Light of the Jedi, which is more of an adult book, you know, with like backstories and like, you know, history and all this other stuff. Test of Courage is more of a personal story, that kind of just takes place near the end of the first book. There's a lot of questions about what order should you read these in. And to be honest, you can kind of jump in at any point. That's the way these books are made. I would say, well, I and a lot of the authors of the High Republic are saying that you should just read it in release order. So whatever they release, that's when you should read it. And then just kind of fix the timeline out there. But I really am very excited for what they're going to do with this High Republic. I am hoping for a animated series. I think it'd be really cool.
Point, you never know.
Or maybe a video game, because they are working on a open world Star Wars game. So, who knows? But I'm very excited about this era. It takes place far enough back that there's really not a whole lot of characters that we know. Although you get to see a couple of lineages that we know of from other books, comics, movies, all that stuff. So, and then of course Yoda is going to be there. So far in the two books, he hasn't shown up yet. But apparently, he's going to have a whole series to himself for like younger readers. So that's going to be cool. But I highly recommend The High Republic. So far, it gets Joshua's uber nerd stamp of approval. So if you have some time, definitely download the audiobooks, because I love the audiobooks. But if you're passionate about reading it,
then I'll definitely do that. Because again, I had to see. It's funny because I actually had seen the book when I was in Walmart. I think it was last week when I went grocery shopping.
Yeah.
And I was curious about it, but I wasn't really too sure.
Yeah.
But again, given what you said, I'm like, okay, all right. I'm definitely going to go for it. And I'll make it a point to check out the audiobooks, because I know there's a few Star Wars audiobooks out there that aren't just, you know, the narrator reading.
Yeah.
Like, you actually have, you know, full sound effects, the whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I have to admit, I've been curious about it, but I'm very, very picky when it comes to those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But again, I think I'll definitely check it out. In fact, if anything, I'll check out the audiobook first.
I highly recommend the audiobooks, because the audiobooks have sound effects, music, along with the reading. The the people that get to read them are, oh, they're so good. There's even a couple of them that are actually almost like radio dramas. One of them that comes to mind is Dooku Jedi Lost, where it talks a little bit about Dooku's history. They had a full cast of people playing different roles. So that was pretty cool.
You know, those are the kinds of audiobooks that I like.
Yeah.
Because usually when it comes to that, when it comes to Star Wars or anything like that, or heck, even Marvel, those are the kinds of audiobooks that I like to get. But yeah. Okay. You know what? You have me sold. I will definitely be checking it out the first chance I get.
Cool.
Sure.
All right. We're going to jump into our next little topic real quick, because we're running on almost 30 minutes now. So, yeah. So let's jump into this one real quick. So we got the next two things we want to talk about is Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser Fury and new Pokemon Snap. Both of these have already been previously announced, but now we got our first kind of look at it. And I got to say, I'm really excited for both of these games. Now, I actually really like there are a few people who don't like Super Mario 3D World. I actually really like 3D World. It was a fun game, especially to play with multiple people. It was a little different from New Super Mario Brothers, where like the chaos of just everyone on the same screen. It was a little bit more fun. But I think the one thing that hooked me the most... Oh, by the way, also the music is killer in that game. Oh my gosh, that music. But the one thing that got me the most was the new Bowser's Fury. Which is an add-on story to the game, and my gosh, that game looks amazing.
It really does, and I have a confession to make. For me, I did have a copy of Mario 3D Land. Fortunately, though, because of a lot of different reasons, I wasn't able to get around to playing it fully. I did manage to get past a few stages, but I wasn't able to to get all the way to the end. But what I was able to play, it was a lot of fun. You know, and just I don't know, the whole design setup, I mean, I think it was like an, what do you call it? Isometric? I think, is that what you call it? Because it wasn't like fully like 2D or 3D. It's not like, or at least the point of view anyways, where it wasn't like top down. But anyway, long story short, the game design really, along with the gameplay, it really made the title stand out. Because it kind of reminded me a lot of Super Mario 3D Land for the 3DS. Getting a chance to play that few short stages that I did was really, on the Wii U, was really a lot of fun. And now getting a chance to now play it again, and this time, you know, I'll be able to play it all the way through, along with that special add-on, the Bowser Fury. Holy smokes, I think this game is definitely going to be, you know, it's going to be taking up a lot of my free time.
And I think the add-on is going to be even better, because it's going to add a whole new thing to it. And even Bowser Jr. is going to be playable for the first time. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun, especially since he's never been playable. And he's going to have his paintbrush. Yeah, from Sunshine. Wow. But I think the biggest thing that came out of that was, oh my gosh, Fury Bowser. Wow. That looks really cool.
We need an animated series, man. We really need one. I mean, yeah, we have plenty of source material to go on now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, serious, but anyway.
Yeah.
But, wow. Yeah, I know it's...
Oh,
I
yeah.
actually got a chance to, before we started, you know this, I actually had gone on and taken a look at the recent trailer again, and wow. It definitely is gonna give gamers who played it before another reason to get back into it, and it's definitely gonna entice new gamers. In fact, in a lot of ways, this kind of reminds me of when Nintendo had put out a Redux version of Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga.
Oh yes.
But they didn't just release it as a Redux version. It was that where it had something else, Bowser's Minions, which, let me tell you, that was a lot of fun, and I haven't finished it yet. But again, just the gameplay style for Bowser's Minions was definitely like, wow, this is really cool. And it really gives you a chance to see that, yeah, I mean, Bowser's Minions are not complete cannon fodder.
Right.
It's just designed that way.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that if push came to shove, they can definitely be just as spacious as the Mario Brothers.
Yeah, oh man. So I think that's going to be a fun part of it. Let's move on to new Pokemon Snap. That trailer dropped, and my gosh, that game's gorgeous. this is a game that I have been waiting for years. I've been waiting so long for a Pokemon Snap sequel. And now we're finally getting it. Danny, did you play Pokemon Snap back in the day?
Fortunately, no.
Aww.
It's funny that you should mention that because I did get a chance to play it, but it was mostly on one of those old game stations. That's right, folks. Or I know they still do them, but let me tell you, back in the day, they were special. But
yeah.
I did get a chance to play a little bit of it on one of those stations, but it was a demo version, so I didn't really get a chance to really immerse myself into it. And I did download the original version on my Wii U, which I still have. But again, it's one of those that I didn't get a chance to play. But all the same, I am definitely going to be looking forward to getting that. Now, do you know by chance if it's only going to be a digital version, or are they doing a hard copy?
They're doing a hard copy.
Okay, good. All right, yeah. I kind of figured as much, as I wasn't 100% sure on that.
Yeah, I love the first game. Even if they just do a redo of the original with the same gameplay, I think it'll be a pretty awesome game.
Again, trailer, it's like, wow, this is definitely going to be something real. And by the way, was that the same professor from Pokemon Journey?
We're not sure. I don't think so, though.
Okay, all right.
I remember sinking so many hours into that game. Even, like, after I beat it, I was, like, going back and still trying just to take photos. I remember how relaxing it was. Just not worry about going and shooting characters or defeating enemies. Just relaxing and just taking photos of little Pokemon and smacking a Pikachu on the head with an apple. it was just a relaxing game, and I think that this is going to continue with new Pokemon Snap as well. So very excited about that. Okay, now before we move on to our meat and potatoes, our WandaVision review, we're going to jump over to Raygun, who is going to talk a little bit here on his new segment called Ray's Arcade Corner. Take it away, Ray.
Hey, Arcaders, it's Raygun here at Raygun's Arcade Corner. And this is a new segment we're going to do, especially when I'm not available to be in the podcast. As of late, I haven't. So I thought it would be a great way to interact with you, be a part of the actual podcast without actually being there. So what are we going to talk about on today's Arcade Corner? Well, let's talk about the big thing for me. The big thing being our 10th anniversary at the Arcade Archives. That's right. Beginning of February, it is the 10th anniversary of the Arcade Archives. I couldn't be more proud. Seeing the evolution and actually going back and looking at some of the posts I did early on, and then when I eventually got to Disney Quest and we added everybody on board that has been a contributor to the site, it's amazing to watch and to listen and to go through each post. So we couldn't do it without you, so thank you very much. And be prepared, there are going to be some surprises I'm working on for the 10th anniversary. Probably going to last the entire month. Let's see if we can pull that off. So that's the first thing what I wanted to talk about was the 10th anniversary. Secondly, you might remember a little thing last year called Pac-Man Month. We were doing a thing regarding the history of Pac-Man. I did not give up on that. Don't lose hope. There'll be a coin up coming up very soon on the sequel, Ms. Pac-Man. And then I promise to continue all the coin ups forward with a different Pac-Man game. Also, we're going to delve deeper into the games that Pac forgot. That's probably my favorite article series out of that, other than coin up. So I will be continuing the Pac-Man month of what I'm calling the Pac-Man Forever. We'll call it that from now on. That'll be continuing. That'll be ongoing. So just keep an eye out for that. I think the last thing I want to talk about is a podcast that I had discussed with Josh, the Uber Nerd, that we are going to do, which will be about Super Nintendo World. I don't know if anybody's been following, but the Super Nintendo World in Universal Studios Japan is close to opening. That's really exciting stuff. And we got to watch Shigeru Miyamoto walk through the actual park. And actually, we got a little taste of what that area is going to be like. But the exciting part was at the very end of the video, when he said it's coming soon to Orlando and California. So because of everything that's been going on, everything's been delayed, and the fear has been they may not go through with all this. They may decide, hey, we're not going to do this right now. We can't afford it. And who knows? It could happen. They could come back and say it. But as of right now, the man himself said it is coming to Universal Studios, Florida, and Hollywood. So I wanted to do a podcast on when we got the revelation back in 2015 and all the things we thought were going to happen, what we got right and what we got wrong. And hint, spoiler, we got a lot of it wrong. So please stay tuned for that. I'm hoping to record that in the next few weeks. Josh and Danny are amazing. They're doing a great job. I'm in the background. Hope you like the new site. We ended up making some last-minute changes and actually found a theming that actually works and I think looks amazing. So, you know, any comments, any suggestions, anything you don't like, shoot back with an email. Let us know. We want to hear from you. Please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, our Instagram page, whatever page we have. Please like and subscribe. I think that's pretty much it for me. So I'm going to hand it back to the guys and because they're doing a great job. So thank you very, very much. Keep playing like it's 1981. And I'll see you back here at Ray Gun's Arcade Corner. I'll see you on the flip-flop. Talk to you later.
All right. Thank you very much, Ray. We are back now, and we're going to start off with our review of the first two episodes of WandaVision and also kind of our conspiracy theories. Before we begin, though, I do want to warn all of you listening that there are spoilers ahead. So if you have not watched the first two episodes of WandaVision, you better go stop right now and go watch them and come back. Now, I know that the third episode is out by the at the recording of this podcast, but we're only going to do our impressions of the first two episodes. We're going to probably by the time this podcast publishes, probably the fourth episode will be up. I think we're going to save our mega impressions for when the entire series finally is over, and we'll probably do a giant review of the series, like we did with The Mandalorian. But this is your spoiler alert. If you haven't watched the first two episodes of WandaVision, you better stop right now, because we're going to spoil the whole thing for you. All right, here we go. This is your warning. Here we go. All right, let's jump into it. All right, first and foremost, I know, Danny, you're a huge Marvel fan, especially the MCU. I am a fan of the MCU, although I'm not a huge reader of the actual comics. So I think you have a little bit more knowledge on me. I don't know how much, but I think you have a little bit more knowledge about the MCU than I do.
Yeah.
About Marvel than I do. So please forgive me. Correct me if you have to. Don't worry about it. So WandaVision, what was your first impression of WandaVision after seeing the first two episodes?
Well, I have to say, I really like, well, first off, I like how it's a nice love letter to a lot of the classic sitcoms, especially, you know, starting with the 50s and 60s with black and white television. I think the fact that there has been an actual year gap with Avengers Endgame kind of helped, it really helped kind of whet the audience's appetite, or at least mine anyway, for what Marvel Studios had next. And I'm glad that the way they started it, it kind of made you go, okay, well, what happened? You kind of dropped in the middle of something and you have no idea what it is, but the only thing you do know is that you're interested, and you know for a fact that no matter what, it'll all make sense once it's all finished.
Oh, yeah.
But for the moment, you're kind of just in the mood to enjoy the ride, see what happens. I mean, it's just the bizarreness as well as even cheesiness that Wanda and Vision do, and all the characters they interact with. It's a lot of fun. It's one of those things to where, on the surface, you don't have to take it so seriously and just enjoy the ride. But what you also come away with, especially after the second episode, you also really get a sense that there's something funny going on around here.
Yes.
And not everything is as it seems. The question is, what's going on and who's behind it?
Yeah. As for me, my impressions of WandaVision, I really kind of like it. Like you said, it's kind of a love letter to classic TV. You know, the first episode being like I Love Lucy meets Bewitched, and then like the second episode being a little bit more like Bewitched. I thought that was really cool. In fact, they even shot it like an actual sitcom from those days. So back in those days, it was three cameras. You had three cameras.
Yeah.
And different setups. So yeah, I really do like it. I thought it was interesting, and the whole time I was watching it differently than Mandalorian, because with Mandalorian, yeah. I was ready for an adventure and you know, stuff like that. With this, it was more like, what's going on? You know, this is sort of strange.
Like, wow.
So but I do like that. It's not a bad thing that I'm kind of confused. And it's actually a good thing, and it's to that show's credit that I'm like, I really am intrigued by this. I really can't wait to see what happens. It was a fun two episodes. I liked both ones. Now, as for Vision and Wanda, how much do you know about these characters, Danny? I don't know how deep you are in the Marvel comics. I know you're like almost like a Spider-Man expert, but what about Wanda and Vision?
For me, not too much, interestingly enough. I know that, again, in the comics, it's a little bit more it's pretty interesting. But I know that in regards to Wanda, she's actually Magneto's daughter, complicated, and the whole, you know, story behind that. I mean, and it also depends too on some interpretations, both in the comics and even in animation. I mean, good grief! I mean, in animation, I know that in it's like in some, like, I know that for example, in some interpretations, like X-Men Evolution, good grief. That version of Wanda Maximoff has got daddy issues like you don't even believe. But there was good reason, though. Yeah. Let's face it. In that animated show, Magneto really did not get... He doesn't get anyone's vote for Father of the Year. That's for sure. Given what he tried to do and did. So, in this one, obviously because of time, because of rights issues, there really was no way to kind of bridge that gap. But I do like that how they... I like what they've done with the character in the movie, because I don't know all that much about her, because I do know that her abilities are not from an Infinity Stone. They are actually the result of an X gene, but that X gene allows her to be able to essentially warp reality. And obviously those abilities tend to have carried over into the MCU to some extent, hence what she ended up doing to Tony in Age of Ultron. And also with what we might see both in this show as well as possibly in the next Doctor Strange film.
Yes.
Now, as to what that'll be, we don't know. But obviously, you get a sense that, yeah, we're not done with Wanda yet. And how these experiences that she has gone through, what she's experiencing now in the show, and how that's going to carry over into future films, it's really going to be interesting. I also know that going back to the comics, that there was an event that they did years ago called House of M, in which Wanda pretty much did a thing where she speaks the infamous word "No more mutants," and then everything just goes completely crazy.
Right.
That, I mean, they're able to resolve the problem, but from what I understand, yeah, the character's not. I don't know. A lot of people don't trust her for a while after that. So it's a very interesting thing. But you have this character who, you know, between being with the X-Men, being with Magneto's Brotherhood, and also with the Avengers, you know, you can take your pick as to what, how you want to see Wanda portrayed as, because sometimes she can be the, again, in some books she's the hero, some books she's the villain, some books she's the anti-hero. So it really comes down to which version do you like the most, and just stick with that.
Okay, and with that, I'm a big fan of the MCU version of Wanda and Vision. I think both characters kind of grew organically from the different stories that they added into, although I'm probably going to have to go back and watch a couple of movies to give me a refresher. All right, so now that we've talked about that, it is time for my favorite parts. It is time for our conspiracy theories. Bum, bum, bum. All right. I want to talk first. So my theory, maybe we should like record this so that when we do a series wrap-up, or season wrap up, or whatever it'll be, maybe we can go over these theories and see how wrong or right we were. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Here's my theory. My theory is that Wanda moved into a new place, away from like all the superheroes and whatnot. She wanted a nice quiet thing, but she's still kind of dealing with some depression because of, you know, Vision being gone and whatnot. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen Endgame by now. Or Infinity War, actually. That's when it happened. So she's still feeling a little bit depressed. Maybe she's staying home. Like, maybe she did like a, kind of like what Thor did. You know, just kind of stayed at home. Just kind of like vegged out. Maybe watched a bunch of, you know, TV. You know, binged watched a bunch of old TV shows and stuff. And kind of wished that her life was like that. Has now kind of unknowingly took this small town into her fantasy with her. Somebody, some evil person, we don't know who yet, but I'm almost very sure it's the guy in the commercials.
Yeah.
Some evil person is trying to take advantage of this. I don't know how, I don't know why, but there's some reason they're trying to take advantage of this situation. And Sword, who we saw in the first two episodes, by the way, Sword, I don't know much about it, but Sword is an organization that's a division of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's more based off of extraterrestrial threats and galaxy-wide things and stuff like that. S.W.O.R.D. is in Wanda, WandaVision, and you can see their S.W.O.R.D. emblem on there, and it's showed throughout there several times. I believe S.W.O.R.D. is trying to get Wanda out of this, you know, out of this space
reality.
or whatever she's done. So I think that's what it is. There's a few things that I did note, and I wanted to throw them out there. First of all, the first thing we see in color is the toaster, and it glows red. So that was something. Second thing we saw in color was a helicopter, and the helicopter was painted like Iron Man, and it had a S.W.O.R.D. logo on it. And the third thing I want to like bring up, because there's a whole bunch of stuff, but the third thing I want to bring up is there's lots of imagery about roses. Now, I don't know what that has to do with Wanda herself, but Wanda wore a rose shirt in episode 2. In their house, there's a painting of roses, and the couch they have also has rose imagery on it. And then they had a part of the episode where they were talking about roses. And then at the end, the credit sequence, they also, the pixels come together and make a rose. So that has to be something, I think. I don't know what yet, but it has to be something. All right, so what do you think about this? And I'll do the same for your conspiracy theories. So what do you think about my conspiracy theory?
Well, I think you're definitely spot on in regards to S.W.O.R.D.
Yeah.
Because, and again, while I didn't series, and by the series I mean Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, but I know that a lot of stuff happened to them as a result of what had been going on in the movie. So I don't know if this officially means that S.H.I.E.L.D. is back fully, because that was the impression I got from watching the series finale. Or at least in some fashion, or if S.H.I.E.L.D. has been completely reorganized into S.W.O.R.D. to kind of be, you know, sort of like, I guess, what S.H.I.E.L.D. originally was trying to be when the Avengers were first formed, and hopefully this time not have any parasites. So I think it's definitely spot on with S.W.O.R.D. being involved. And obviously, again, for those who didn't see Spider-Man Far From Home, I'm guessing that was why Nick Fury and Maria Hill decided to have their little vacation. It wasn't just to have a vacation. It was basically to prepare for something. Or at least that's the idea that I hope for. So, and I'm guessing that the Nick Fury stand-in is doing just that. He's kind of filling, you know, taking care of things, but also, you know, being like, oh, yeah, just so you know, Fury, this is going on, blah, blah, blah. Other than that, I know that basically something is really, something strange is going on here. Somebody is messing with Wanda. I just don't know who. Now, again, I really don't have any conspiracy theories beyond that, only that I do agree with what you said, that it would make sense for Wanda to actually have some degree of depression, because considering everything that happened from her perspective, within a span of just like a few days, but not even that, I mean, everything just completely downhill from her. I mean, beyond the fact that she was basically on the run for, you know, 2 years, I believe, between Civil War and Infinity War, and then to have Vision then taken away from her, not once, but twice, then her getting dusted, and, you know, and then obviously with that big final battle with Endgame, which again, with what she says to Thanos, kind of says it all. I mean, she didn't have to shout it, but the fact that she was saying it in a very low-key voice kind of indicated, yeah, this girl is ticked off and she's ready to...
Oh, yeah. When I saw her drop from the sky and just stand in front of Thanos, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah. No, and not to segue, no, but I got a feeling that, you know, it would be the equivalent of, you know, going into Cobra Kai. I wouldn't be surprised if Amanda starts reacting if something happens to Daniels where he doesn't die, but he gets really injured and creeps and you know, and his, whoever he called end up being responsible, and Amanda shows up ready to just, you know, just that vibe. But yeah, but it would make sense that after all that wears off, that all of a sudden, you know, yeah, she, I mean, obviously she tried to put up a strong front, you know, after, you know, when they were trying to put everything back together, she was talking to Clint. You know, it's funny, one would think that she would be hanging out at Clint's house if nothing else, just to kind of
she probably My theory is he wanted to probably get away from all of that. After all of that happened, I guess maybe her way of kind of coping with it was just, I need to get away from this for a little while. I need to just have a normal life for a bit. That's my theory anyway.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, especially given what she wants. So it does make sense. Besides that, it's anybody's guess as to how this even happened. But obviously, it'll come out. They'll find out who's the one pulling the strings.
Right.
Sword is definitely involved. Clearly, they're trying to help Wanda out. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I don't want to give this a rating just yet, but as this is the first MCU series that has to deal with a main hero character,
yeah,
or characters in this case, what do you think? Do you think this is really cool? Are you excited about going forward with all the other series that they've mentioned and announced?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Now, granted, the way they started it, obviously you can't compare it to, say, The Mandalorian. Because that one had a really good, strong start. So, given the nature of the characters, like Wanda, for example, and Vision, and just the abilities they have, especially Wanda, you really get a sense of, okay, this is going to be different, and so, but even with the first two episodes, you already get a sense that, even with all the fun that they're having, on the surface, but you look deeper, you realize, you get a sense that there's something more going on here. And there's no question that, Wanda will get to she'll definitely get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
It just, hopefully she's able to find some degree of peace because, again, I would really hate for this for all this to really end up, mentally and emotionally scarring her even more than she already has. Because let's face it, according to producers and the folks at Marvel Studios, this character's been through the ringer. And like you said, it does make sense for her to kind of get away and just be like, I gotta get my head together and I can't do that hanging around you guys. Now, granted, one would think that she probably would have, gone and stayed at one of the Avengers homes, like, say, Hawkeye, for example, but, that's a whole other thing. But it makes sense for her to be like, I just gotta do this on my own.
Yeah.
Sort of thing for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a good start, but it'll be, as the episodes go by and then we get to the end of that season, is it only a one season or are they planning on doing it?
I don't know. I think it's just a one-off show. Maybe they'll do the same thing with The Mandalorian where maybe if it is a success, maybe they'll keep going or maybe they'll make other episodes. But to be honest, I don't really think they could continue this kind of show. This is probably going to be kind of a one-off thing. They could possibly bring Wanda back and have her own series. Well, I mean in the sense of the more traditional series. As this format for WandaVision, I think this is going to be a one-and-done kind of thing. All right. And that's our discussion on WandaVision episodes 2 and 3. I think we're going to definitely come back when the show is over and do kind of like an overview of what we thought of the show as a whole. If episodes are still coming out while we're recording the podcast, maybe we'll talk about a few of the episodes. Yeah. We also want to know what you guys think out there. So if you arcaders have some opinions about Wanda Vision and you guys want to talk about it, feel free to comment wherever you're listening to this podcast. And we'll talk about where you can actually listen to it right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the Electric Circus podcast. Again, my name is Josh with the Uberder, and of course, with me is Danny, the Ultrasonic Player. Earlier, you heard from Ray Gunn, the founder and creator of TheArcadeArchives.com. TheArcadeArchives.com is your geektastic home for reviews, news, and nostalgic views. So, if you guys want to go to the website, TheArcadeArchives.com, we have podcasts. You can see all our old episodes of The Electric Circus. You can also see our webcomics, articles, of course, by the wonderfully and talented Danny the Ultrasonic Player. We also have webcomics done by myself, of course. We now actually added my Twitch stream on the site. So for those of you, again, who are new, I stream on Twitch every Sunday night. We call it Sunday Night Streaming. with Joshua. We're going through Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity right now. I don't know which game I'll be doing next. I'll probably use Super Mario 3D World and plus Bowser's Fury, so maybe you can see me actually play that. Or maybe even Star Wars, Lego Star Wars, The Complete Saga. I don't know. I may even go back to Jack and Daxter, which I haven't beaten yet. But anyways, that's on the site now, so you can see a live feed on the web on the website, as well as going to twitch.tv/ubernerd527. Again, that's ubernerd527. And again, if you want to find either me or my partner in crime here, Danny, the ultrasonic player, you can find us on various social medias. You can find me at Twitter and Instagram at ubernerd527. Again, that's ubernerd527, UBERNERD 527. Danny, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter under the name UltraSNCPLYR9. I'm also on fanfiction.net, where I write some stories. And of course, you can also follow me on Instagram under the pen name Ultrasonic9. So yeah, so you can check me out on any of those. And yeah.
And we also have some social media presence for the site as well. So you can go to facebook.com and look up The Arcade Archives. You can find us on there. You can go to Instagram and look up The Arcade Archives on Instagram. And of course, Arcade A Network on Twitter. So you can find us on there as well. So we had a great time here tonight. Hope you guys had too. As we always say here at The Arcade Archives and of course, The Electric Circus Podcast, keep playing like it's 1981. Goodbye, everyone. Good night.
Hey, Arcaders, this is Ray Gunn from the Arcade Archives Network. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast that you're listening to. If you're listening on iTunes, please give it 5 stars. A lot of time and patience go into every podcast we do. 5-star ratings help us so we can continue giving you this quality entertainment every month. And don't forget to share us with your friends. If you're listening to us on YouTube, please give us a like and subscribe to our channel. And if you're over on our Facebook page, please like and share. Once again, we do this for you guys, and we enjoy doing it every single month. So every little bit helps. So please go online and like us today. Thanks. Keep playing like it's 1981, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye now.
The Electric Circus is a part of the Arcade Archives Network and is produced by What's This Button Do Productions. Hey guys, what's this button do?
That's what the button does.
The Electric Circus is a part of the Arcade Archives Network.